Why live a normal life when you could be living the abundant life? Welcome to the Abundant Life Program with Ashley and Carly Terades.
Hello, welcome to Abundant Life. We're so glad you've joined us today. We're talking about how to attack lack, how to attack poverty in our lives. You know, God's will for you is to prosper. God's will for you is to have an abundance. God's will for you is for Him to provide for all your needs. But sometimes we don't experience that in our daily lives. Sometimes we have an experience of lack or poverty.
That's right.
You know what? God wants that lack gone. He wants
Amen.
That poverty
that's,
gone.
That's the good news.
That's the good news. Amen. So we've looked at a number of things. If you just joined us today, we're halfway through a series here. We've looked at the fact that it's God's will for you to prosper. We looked at the fact that Jesus paid for you to prosper financially. You know, in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, Jesus was rich, he had abundance, obviously, mm-hmm. in heaven and while he was on earth, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. So Jesus took poverty and lack, financial poverty and financial lack, to the cross and defeated it. And just like he took sin to the cross in 2 Corinthians 5:21, when we took on his righteousness, just like he defeated sickness and disease, he mm-hmm. took stripes on his back, 1 Peter 2:24, he took stripes on his back so that we could be healed. He took poverty and lack to the cross so that we can receive his abundance and his provision. So it's part of the gospel. God wants you to prosper financially. God wants you to provide for your needs. God wants you to have all sufficiency in all things. In fact, Amen. 2 Corinthians 9 and 8, so that was 2 Corinthians 8, 9. This is 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. It's quite a tongue twister. But 2 Corinthians 9 and 8 says that, let me read that to you. It says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. So God's will for you, God's will for us, God's best for us is to not only have our own needs supplied, but also have an abundance for every good work.
Amen.
So we'll be able to help people, we'll be able to support missionaries, mm-hmm. we'll be able to help neighbours who need help, we'll be able to give to churches, mm-hmm. give to ministries, partner with people. That's God's best for us. And we also talked about in the previous shows how you know, me and Carly, we grew up, we got married very young and grew up with, I was a youth pastor, Carly was worked in a Christian coffee house, we had very little. We experienced a lot of lack in our life. And, you know, we also talked about how poverty is relative and you know, there's from extreme poverty to where there's literally not enough to eat to poverty where you're just not able to make decisions because you haven't got the money to make decisions. Wherever that is, all lack and all poverty is evil. It's not good. Poverty and lack is never good. Mm-hmm. And it's always described in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. It's always described as in a negative way. Lack and poverty is always looked at negatively, whereas prosperity and provision is always looked at positively. Often lack and poverty is looked at as listed in the curses, whereas provision and blessings is listed as a blessing. Provision and abundance is listed as a blessing. You can find that in Deuteronomy 28. Sorry, that whole chapter is talking about how, you know, the first 15 chapters is talking about how prosperity is a blessing and provision is a blessing. And then from verse 15 on to verse 68 talks about how lack and not having enough and poverty is a curse. And praise God, Galatians 3:13, we're redeemed from the curse. We haven't got to worry about the curse anymore, but we can see that poverty is always looked at negatively and prosperity and provision is looked at positively. So it's God's best for us to not have lack in our life. It's God's mm-hmm. best for us to have prosperity in life. We also looked mm-hmm. at what lack does. Lack can limit your choices. Lack can hinder you serving the Lord and helping people. When you don't have enough financially yourself, it's harder for you to help other people. When you don't have enough financially, it's harder for you to make decisions about, you know, maybe you want to take a part-time job so you can be at home more. Or, you know, we've got friends who are, in fact, she had a baby and they actually purposely saved her salary so that when mm-hmm. they had a baby, she could stay at home full time. So that was, you know, if they had lack, they wouldn't be able to do that. So,
it's right.
And I know a lot of our viewers are experiencing these things, mm-hmm. experiencing a lack in their finances. And that's why I'm excited about showing you God's promise for you is to have prosperity. But you know what? We hear a lot of people teach this, but we want to show you some practical things about how you can receive it. We want to show you some things that are going to help you practically. So that's what this mm-hmm. series is about. We've called it How to Attack Lack. So if you've got lack in your life, how you can attack that lack and overcome that lack. Even though Jesus ultimately overcame it at the cross, we're going to show you some things you can do to stop lack manifesting your life day to day.
Amen. And now I know that some of the lack that people are experiencing isn't necessarily a supply issue, but a stewardship issue. Mm-hmm. Is that right? I mean, you just mentioned that our friend there that was having a baby, and they planned ahead. They knew that she was going to have a baby. They planned ahead, even before she got pregnant, actually, mm-hmm. to live off just one of their salaries and cut back on their outgoings as much as they could so they could live on just one of their salaries. And on the second salary, on her salary, they just saved everything. And the point was, she had a goal in mind. She wanted to be a stay-at-home mom and raise a baby at home. And if they were going to do that, they were going to have to get used to living off one salary anyway. Mm. And so they may as well start practicing what that would look like before the baby came along. And so when the baby did come along, she was able to leave work, and then they had that nest egg of all of the money that they'd saved from that second salary. Right. So they planned ahead. They became mm-hmm. good stewards. But if they hadn't have done, I know many people. Same situation, but they didn't plan ahead. And so when they get to and the baby is born, they find themselves in a position, well, we really wanted to be able to be a stay-at-home mom or a stay-at-home dad, but we can't afford it now.
Right. So lack is limiting choices there. It's actually mm-hmm. it's limiting their choice to whether they're going to stay home or not. And this is just an example. There's no right or wrong. We're not saying that you should always stay home or not stay home. I know people that work because they choose to work even though they don't need the money. They choose to work. Carly had to do a bit of both. You was not cut out
for my own sanity. I had to work some.
We had three children under three.
Yeah.
So when you have three toddlers in the house, which were literally three in diapers at one point, mm-hmm. nappies, if you're watching in the UK, but diapers here in America, three in diapers, and you know, just no adult conversation, no conversation at all.
Because I went to work a day a week just to have some adult conversation.
She had to get some adult conversation in, so she went to work for a break. In fact, work was a break in our house, wasn't it? Going to work was a break. So whatever the situation is, that's not the point. The point is that by the decisions you make can really help defeat lack in your life. And that's mm-hmm. one of the points we've got today, actually, is we're looking at today is what causes this lack in our lives. So if we used to back up again and say, you know what, God's will for us is to prosper, God's will for us is to have all our needs met, then when we don't see that happen in our life, when we don't see our needs met, when our month is longer than our paycheck, or maybe when we've been in situations when our first year of marriage, I remember going into the store and having enough money for either coffee or cereal, but not both. It was like,
that was a bad day.
All I had was the money for coffee or cereal. I couldn't buy both. I just had the, whatever it was, $5, mm-hmm. coffee or cereal, but not both. And I remember thinking, that's a tough decision. I'm either going to be hungry or tired and hungry. What am I going to do? So we've been in the situation, and that's just a silly small example. There's been major times when we've been limited by the amount of finances we've had, and we've not been able to do the things we wanted to do, as well as times when we have had the finances and we have been able to make the decision. So what causes lack in your life? What's going wrong, if you like, or what's causing this lack of finances in your life? And there's three things we're going to look at real quickly today. Hopefully we'll get through them today. Praise God, otherwise we're just
going to... It's
a faith statement. But the first thing is, well, first of all, Deuteronomy 30. We looked at this in a previous lesson, but Deuteronomy 30 really lays it out in a way. It says, you know, Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, God says, I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses, therefore choose life. You know, the promises of God are not automatic. You know, this is where the balance of grace and faith comes in. You know, Jesus paid for it all. Grace, that's grace. He paid for it all. He paid for your righteousness. He paid for your healing and your health. He paid for your provision, your prosperity. He paid for it all. It's done. Grace has given it all to you. But faith is you appropriating that. Faith is you walking in that. Faith is you reaching out and accepting that gift and unwrapping it.
A positive response to what grace has already provided.
That's a perfect way of putting it. Say that again, Carly.
Faith is a positive response to what grace has already provided.
That's good. I'm going to steal that and use it myself now.
Have at it.
So that's true. Great. What's going on there is that we still have a part to play.
Yes.
Now, it's not, you know, some people say, well, you're saying this is works, actually. It's not works. It's like one time at church, I remember I gave someone a $100 check because they were in need. And I gave them a $100 check. And they were very excited about it and, you know, whatever. But the point is this, they had to take that check down to the bank and cash it mm-hmm. to get the money. Mm-hmm. I gave them $100. Now, they'd said to me, oh, I can't believe it. Ashley's making me walk down to the bank and hand this over to the teller that $100 cash. That's not, he's making me work. No, they're just basically walking out what I've already done for them.
Yeah.
That's just an example.
So they had to respond.
They had to respond
check.
Positively, yep. and they had to receive it. They could have said no. So anyway, my point is this: is that you're already prosperous. God's already paid for your prosperity. If you're born again today, you're already prosperous, and you already have your needs met. But if you're not seeing it in your natural life, if you're not seeing it in the day to day, there's some reasons for that. So the first reason for that is, and some of these reasons, I've got to say, I was. Don't be mad at me. Okay, I'm just saying, don't be mad at me. But this is the word of God. I mean, I can't. This is the word of God. The first one is maybe you're overspending. I've got stewardship is the issue. I'm just saying.
People are going to write us now.
They're going to write. We're going to get a bit in trouble.
Make sure you address those letters to Ashley.
That's right. You can go to terrydesministries.com and complain if you want. But overspending, stewardship. It's in the Word of God, and it really is. If you spend too much, if you spend more than you make, it doesn't matter if you make $200,000 a year. If you spend $220,000 a year, you're going to experience lack. If you make $20,000 a year but only spend $18,000 a year, you're probably not going to experience lack. So right. It's just a very simple
living beyond math. Living beyond people's
living
means.
Beyond your means. Mm-hmm. Living beyond your means. Stewardship. The Bible has so much to talk about stewardship. We could do a whole series on stewardship. We're not going to do that. We're going to do stewardship in 5 minutes. So I want to give you the basics because this is important. This is going to help you realize, you know, this might be your situation. Maybe you're in a point where, you know what, the Holy Spirit's saying, you know, you need to, you know, maybe look at your spending in these areas. And that's fine. This is practical advice to help you walk out the promises of God. So in Luke 15, there's the story of the prodigal son. And usually we talk about the prodigal son, talking about people being born again, or maybe we talk about the ungrateful older brother and things like that. But today there's one verse I want to pull out of the prodigal son, and that's in Luke 15 and in verse 14. So this is Luke 15, yep. 14. If you've never read the prodigal son, you know, he basically gets his dad's inheritance early and runs off with it. What is it? Have you got that verse there?
Yes, so verse 14 says, "But when he had spent all of the money that his father gave him, all of his inheritance, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want."
So he went out, he took this inheritance from his dad.
So he had a whole chunk of money.
Probably a good sum of money.
Right.
From his dad.
Took his inheritance early, which is kind of rude.
We know his dad was a rich man, a wealthy man, because later on in the story, all what he did for him and everything else, had parties and killed the fattened calf and robes and all that stuff, rings and everything else. So this was a prosperous, his dad was prosperous. Mm-hmm. So when he got his half of the inheritance, we're talking about a lot of money here. We don't know how
he
much, but a lot
advance.
Of money. He got his advance. He got a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But guess what? He ended up being in want. He ended up in lack. He ended up in poverty to the point where he wished that he could eat the pig food, basically, the food given to the pigs. That's how much poverty he experienced. Now, why was this? Now, it says that there arose a severe famine in the land. You say, oh, it's because there's a famine in the land. Well, famines, yes, outside circumstances can make you experience lack. So there can be an outside circumstance that happens that unexpectedly can cause whatever it is, lose your job or something can happen that you can experience lack. So that is definitely a one way that lack can come upon you. But in this instance, I don't think this was the only reason, because, you know, we know that Jacob sowed in a time of famine and he prospered. Jacob prospered in a time of famine.
Right.
Other people prosper in time of famine. Mm-hmm. In fact, some of the wealthiest people in the world will tell you that they've prospered more in down markets than they have in up markets. They've prospered when it looks like everyone else isn't.
But usually, always, it's because they've planned ahead.
Yeah, because they've,
I'm thinking of actually of Donald Trump. I think he was a real estate mogul, wasn't he? And he talks about this, he makes a lot of money when the downturn of the economy happened, and he was able to buy up a lot of real estate. Mm-hmm. Well, the reason he was able to buy up a real lot of real estate was because he'd planned ahead and he had savings.
To be able to buy that.
So, right.
Yeah, he was in positions to be able
exactly.
to pay the down the down payments and get the loan. Because he'd already established himself, he was able to get the loans and things like that. Yep, and had the money to do it.
So he made himself recession-proof.
That's right. So here in this verse, though, it said he spent all he had. So the prodigal son took all the money he had and spent it all. And it says on riotous living.
Riotous living.
I love this. Right, whatever riotous living is, maybe he went to Las Vegas, whatever he did, but he spent all his money. He spent everything. He had nothing left. And that's why lack came upon him. And there's no getting away from it. If you spend everything, if you consume everything that comes into you, you're going to experience lack. That's just how it works. That's not God doing that to you. That's not, you know, the economy, that's not the government, that's not people conspiring against you. It's the simple fact is when money comes into you, if you're spending everything that comes into you, that you get, you're going to experience lack. That's just a natural consequence of spending everything.
This is a sacred cow as well.
Uh-oh.
But riotous living doesn't necessarily mean going out and getting drunk and, you know, paying for prostitutes and buying drugs and just being completely wild, okay? Right? But there are plenty of us that are living riotous lives when it comes to our spending. So maybe that's eating in restaurants every night rather than buying groceries.
Uh-oh.
That's, you know, buying your Gucci handbag, whereas, you know, you could go to the mall and get one a lot cheaper. That, you know, you don't need those 60 pairs of shoes and 4 cars when only 2 of you drive. Things like that. Right. You know, it's not like we're necessarily going out and living in sin, But we're just living beyond our means. We're living with more stuff than we really need.
Right. And that's, you know, it's the Western part, unfortunately, part that, you know, England, we're from England. England is just as bad as America. You know, we're bombarded with you know, commercials and this whole idea that we have to have stuff. And really, it's covetousness.
And we have to have it now.
Yeah,
that's
it's covetousness. We have to have this stuff
people
now.
People do not want to wait for anything.
Otherwise, we won't be happy. And not only do you spend all what you got, it gets worse than that. You end up spending all what you've got, and you put someone on loans and credit cards.
You're spending money you haven't got.
You spend money you haven't got, and nowadays you can basically go anywhere and get credit on anything. In fact, I went into the pet store.
Oh,
true story.
Goodness.
Remember that? In the pet store, and they had a parrot, and you could buy the parrot on monthly installments. Mm-hmm. I kid you, I wish I took a photo of
it. It was like a $1,500 parrot.
It was a $1,500 parrot, and whatever it was like $250 a month, whatever. And I was thinking, imagine having a parrot on loan, on payments. A parrot on payments.
Can you get foreclosed on a parrot?
I don't know what they're going to be. Every month, you hear that parrot going, pay your payments, pay your payments.
Pay your bills.
It's like, seriously, you can get credit on anything. Sofas, anything. You can
get furniture. I heard somebody, they got a lawn. They had some landscaping done, and they didn't pay
turf,
for it.
The turf.
So they came by and they just dug it up.
Got their turf repossessed.
repossessed
turf.
Foreclosed lawn.
So you can go spend more than you have. So not only could spending all your money will lead you to lack, but spending more than you have will definitely lead you to lack. And, you know, we talked about this in a previous lesson. Debt's not a sin, but debt is not God's best. And certainly consumer debt on things that are going down in value, is not a good move. And when you buy things with money you haven't got, I heard one person put it this way. You know, often we spend money we haven't got on things we don't need to impress people we don't really know.
Yeah.
And that's, unfortunately, that's some part of the culture.
Sad
that's part
but
of
true.
The American culture and the Western culture is you just got to have this stuff, and you have to have this stuff. You have to have the latest this and the latest that. And I like stuff. There's nothing wrong with stuff. In fact, you can have stuff. You can have possessions. You can go and buy the latest this and the latest that. That's not a problem. The problem is if that stuff has you. Mm. And you know what? If you're buying that stuff out of money that you can't afford, then that's really not good. You should, you know... wealthy people that understand this, they will buy this stuff off the top of the barrel.
Out of their abundance.
Off the cream off the top. They won't be spending money on... The majority of their money is going on to assets, things that are going up in value, and things that are their investments. And a little part of their net worth is going towards cars and toys
right.
and things like that.
And, you know, this is not like a... Well, this is a really fun message, but it can be life-changing for people. Mm-hmm. And I think it takes a little bit of courage here to take a cold, hard look at ourselves. And if we're finding ourselves and our family as being in a place of chronic lack and constantly worrying about how you're going to pay the bills, how you're going to make it through, but yet you're falling into this category as we're talking of riotous living, mm-hmm. you know, maybe living beyond your means. You know, life is not going to change unless you decide to change your thinking.
Amen.
Right, but the good news is it can absolutely change, and God's behind you, and God wants you to be free from the chains of financial bondage that maybe you're experiencing right now. But it starts with a heart change. It starts with being prepared to take a cold, hard look at your situation, and together, maybe with your spouse as a family, coming into agreement, saying we don't want to live how we're living anymore, and because we don't want to live how we're living anymore, we're going to agree to make some sacrifices now so that later on. We can live in the freedom and liberty that Jesus wants us to live.
Amen. It's delayed gratification.
Yes.
And, you know, that's so important. Sometimes just say no to things. If you haven't got the money for it, one of the things some people say, some advice you'd give? We've been married 20 years and we emigrated to America, and now we work for our ministry full time and things like that. And they say, what's your, you know, we're debt free. And one of the most important things I tell people is, you know, we often said no to things. When we started out, especially in the first probably 10 years or more, mm-hmm. you know what? There was a lot of times we didn't have the money to buy it. We didn't buy it. The only thing we ever bought that we didn't have the money to buy was houses. And we'd always try and have like 20% down payment and things like that, and pay off mortgages. But really, we never bought anything. I don't think we bought anything that we couldn't afford. And mm-hmm. if we had the cash, we didn't have the cash, we just didn't buy it.
We saved up for it. We saved up for a new sofa. We saved up for a new car.
Yeah.
And you know, there's something really fun about when you take time to save up for something that you really want, and then finally you have the money together and you go to the store and buy it. Man, that's like the fruits of your labor.
What often happens
is... It's a reward rather than a burden at that point.
For me, what happens is I often save the money up and then go to buy it and then think, actually, I don't really need to buy it anymore. I've done that a number of times. In fact, I did a little challenge. I called it a buy, sell, repeat challenge. And actually, went from something from zero.
An empty box. He sold empty boxes.
I sold an empty box and I've documented it as a challenge. And it's, I have a course on this. It's called Buy a Silver Pea. But anyway, I did this challenge and the idea was to buy this new computer, which was $2,200. So I finally did it. It took me, I think it was 15 deals. And it took me some time, but I did it. And I went from zero to $2,200 cash from nothing. And then I went to buy the computer with the $2,200 cash, and I was like, I really don't need a new computer.
Isn't that strange?
Buy the new computer.
And oftentimes, I mean, it's funny anyway, because there's many people that just go into the store and swipe their credit card and get the computer, right? But often I think those are impulse purchases. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you had kind of worked and saved over a period of time, you realized when you, even though you'd gotten the money, you'd gotten the cash, by the time you'd really thought it through, it wasn't as an exciting a purchase.
Really
you didn't really want it after all.
Why do you think these stores are so... I used to be in sales, right? Why do you think these stores are so big on credit and get it now, buy it instantly?
Impulse purchases.
Because it's impulse purchasing. Yep. We used to call it buyer's remorse. A lot of time people would try and return it, or they would want to back out the deal because they've got buyer's remorse. If you sleep on it, the next day, just 24 hours later, you're thinking twice.
Right.
So use wisdom when making purchases. My advice would be, if you can help it, only buy what you can afford. Only buy what you've got the cash to buy, to spend. And that means sometimes you're not going to get the nicest car. Sometimes we've had some bad houses.
But
we've
it's just some, for a season,
yeah.
Right? You delay gratification, maybe living in a house or in an area that you don't particularly, like. Yeah. It's not your dream home necessarily, but it's a roof over your head. Being thankful for what you do have, that's huge. And understanding that it's not forever. It's just for a season.
That's right.
And now we live in a nice house in a nice neighborhood and it's paid for and it's not a stress.
Amen. And we could, yeah, and we've had opportunity to move up in house, but we chose not to.
Yeah.
We'd rather be debt-free than move up in house at the moment.
Amen.
So anyway,
Stewardship is important.
Stewardship is huge. And, Jesus put it this way. He said, man's life does not consist in the possessions that he has. So, life, you've got to learn. Paul talked about it this way. He said, I've learned whatever state to be content. So just... like Carly said, be thankful for what you have and learn to be content. Contentment is a state you can be in, and it's a state you have to learn, because it doesn't matter how big a house you get. If you get your dream house, if you get your dream cars, if you get all this stuff, it still won't make you content. So you have to learn to be content now. And once you learn to be content, it's going to help you if you're spending, and it's going to help you not to overspend and overcommit to things.
Yep.
So that's the first thing, the way that lack can come upon you is overspending and basically using God's provision wrongly and living too high a lifestyle. The second thing I've got here is equally as exciting, laziness. Being lazy. The Bible has a lot of talk about being lazy.
Oh my goodness.
I'm getting lots of new friends today. So next time it's going to be positive. I promise you. The next show is going to be all positive about how to get out of lack. But this show, we've got to dig a little bit.
Find
out what's wrong here. So laziness. Proverbs 6:10-11 puts it this way. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 10 to 11 puts it this way. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall poverty come on you like a prowler and your need like an armed man.
Mm.
Wow. That's like, now, we're not talking about you shouldn't sleep. It's healthy to sleep, have a good night's sleep and everything else. But if you are using having excuses for working, if you're using excuses to put your hands to something and just lazy and not getting to things and just procrastinating, then poverty can come upon you. And I like it. It says poverty come on like a prowler. So one way it describes it as a prowler, that it sneaks up on you.
Mm.
And the other way is it describes it as an armed man. So like we talked about earlier.
Held you to ransom.
If you've been held to ransom, it's like it limits your choices.
Yep.
You're stuck. You're in trouble.
Yeah.
So laziness.
I'm just going back to the prodigal son here because I just love that story. But he was lazy while he was out living his riotous life. You can bet he wasn't working, right? He wasn't working and he made some mistakes. But we didn't finish the end of that story. And I just think, I love the end of the story because we know that he had a heart change, right? And I think there are people watching that are being convicted, right? There's a difference between condemnation. Our heart is not to condemn you, but the Holy Spirit brings conviction. And the difference between those two is when the Holy Spirit brings conviction, he leads you into all truth. He leads you into the way of truth and freedom, amen? And the story of the prodigal son here, he had that epiphany. He had that moment when he realized, I have really messed up. I've messed up big time. I've been lazy, I've been riotous, I've been all of these things, but I'm going to go back to my Father. And if you've been convicted by the things that that Ashley's been sharing today, whether it's laziness, or whether it's just poor stewardship, or living beyond your means, or overexerting yourself in some way, overspending, you need to understand that if you make that decision in your heart today, but Lord, I want to be different. But Holy Spirit, help me. I tell you, God is going to add His super to your natural, right? God wants you to be free more than you want to be free. But it takes a decision in our heart. And like with the story of the prodigal son, he came back to his father. We can come back to our Father.
Amen.
And if you follow the end of that story through, as he came back to his father was there at the end of the property looking out for him, to welcome him home and to actually bring restoration to all of the things, all of the mess ups that the son had made. The father restored to him. He put a robe on his shoulders, a ring on his finger. He killed the fattened calf, and he restored him in every area that he'd lost in. So even if the devil's been having a field day in your finances, and he's been stealing from you through worry and stress and just tension, and your mind has been on things consuming your mind, right, drawing you away from your relationship with God, just because you've been distracted by the cares of the world. Mm-hmm. Man, the minute you decide in your heart to come back to your Father, He's just waiting there to bring you restoration.
Amen.
I mean, that's good news.
That's
isn't
a
it?
Good. That's a good word. And you know, in context, what we're talking about here is secondary. Financing and stuff is the least important thing. Relationship with God is always the most important thing.
Amen.
And our relationship with God, and you know, how much God loves us, receiving God's love for us, receiving God's acceptance for us, is infinitely more important. So as Carly said, you know, read that story. That's God the Father looking at you. And it doesn't matter what mistakes we've made. We've all made so many mistakes. You know what? But when we turn to God, when we run back to the Father, when we run back to our loving God, He can put things right just like that. Praise
Amen.
God. Isn't that neat?
Amen.
So that's good news. Amen.
That is good news. Amen. You want to pray for the people?
Yeah. Father God, I thank You, Lord, that You are always welcoming us back, Lord. Whatever mistakes we've made, however we're living, You always welcome us. Mm-hmm. And I thank You, Lord, that whoever's listening today or watching the show today, Lord, I thank You, Lord, You love them. You have good for them. You have good plans for them. And You want them prosperous, Lord, in every area of their life, not just financially, but in every area of their life. And I thank You, Lord, as we're looking at this series of attacking lack, Lord, I thank You, Lord, that we'll realize knowing You, having a relationship with You, Lord, is so much more important. But at the same time, Lord, I thank You that You've given us the grace to deal with our finance. You've given us the grace to prosper Your way so that Amen. We can go on and help more people and do more for You. Amen?
Amen.
Thank You, Lord. That's awesome. Praise God. Well, thanks for joining us today. We'll see you next time. And remember, don't just live a normal life when you can live the abundant life. We'll see you next time.
To order your copy of this teaching, visit our website, TerraDesMinistries.com. Download your free copy of Ashley and Carly's teaching notes at our website, TerraDesMinistries.com.
Hey, I want to thank the partners of TerraDes Ministries. Thank you for your support. You know what? By your financial support, we're able to go out and touch the world for Jesus. We're seeing people's lives turned around. We're seeing people healed. We're seeing people set free. We're seeing people born again. And your gifts are enabling us to do that. So we want to thank you and thank you on behalf of all the people we're touching, praise God. Thank you for your partnership. We appreciate you. We're praying for you. We know you're going to increase as you sow seed into this ministry. So we're praying for you regularly. Thank you for your partnership. We love you all.
Your faithful financial support enables us to produce the Abundant Life program and spread the good news of God's love around the world. If you have been blessed by this program, we invite you to donate and partner with TerraDes Ministries. Visit our website, TerraDesMinistries.com, and become a partner today.